Hey everyone, my name is Lynn Wilson and welcome back to Hope for Today's podcast. I am glad you're here. God is on the move. God is at work this year in 2021. Whether you have felt it, seen it, or not, trust me, He is at work. Great things are happening. Great things are going to happen. I want you to put aside all the craziness of life right now and just focus in for the next 20 minutes or so on what God wants to teach you today. So, my question to you today is, are we a selfish people? Oh, nobody likes to hear that. Widows, orphans, and those in need. That's what we're going to talk about today. So in the past year, we've really been hit hard. Sickness and illness and major life changes. One thing, though, that we've all experienced, whether it's been somebody close to you or someone that you maybe a neighbor or a cousin, you know, off in the distance you've heard of, but we've all experienced loss of life in the last year, not just 2021, but, you know, in a year's time. I don't know for sure how that loss has affected you in your life. I don't know how close it was to you, but loss hurts. And, you know, whether it was somebody in the last year or even a while ago, when you lose someone close to you, a friend, a family member, whatever, that, you know, connection is, it hurts. It just hurts. It's no fun. When you lose someone, you feel alone. You feel sad, definitely hurt. You're confused. You're angry, and so much more. It's just sometimes overwhelming, and the amount of emotion that you can go through. It can also leave us financially in a bit of a situation. We might have the loss of a car, a home, anything like that. Things, major things in life. Sometimes even some people have lost basic food and shelter. You know, they're just devastated by that person's loss and how much they were connected to them in taking care of their needs. But this is not a doom and gloom. I don't want you to be like, oh, she's going to. No. This is not a doom and gloom moment. This is going to be a moment to reflect, to find hope, and to be encouraged. Now, I will start with Philippians 4:19. In that Bible verse, look it up, Philippians 4:19. It clearly says God will supply all my needs. Now, God does not say He's going to supply that Mercedes that we want, or that mansion on top of the hill, or that fantastic job that we have dreamed about for years and years that probably isn't even good for us anyway, or $1 million in your bank account overnight, or a stimulus check coming that's bigger and better than anybody else's. That's not what God says. He'll supply our needs. What do we need? We need food, shelter, and clothing. And if today you're sitting here and have had a meal, you have a roof over your head and you're wearing clothes, I hope you're wearing clothes, then your needs have been met for today. God does not say, all right, today I'm going to supply your needs for the next 10 years and here's the list. The Lord works day to day. Part of that is, I truly believe, is He wants us to rely on Him. And I will be the first one to tell you, I can tell you that, oh, it sounds so easy, just rely on the Lord. It's not always that easy. If we want to be real with each other, and the rubber's hitting the road right now, I'll tell you, the past week, not wanting to read my Bible, not wanting to pray, not wanting to deal with stuff, not wanting to admit that, I don't know if that's the way of saying it, admit that I need to rely on the Lord. I've just been overwhelmed with a situation emotionally, and it has put me in an emotional frame, bad frame of mind. And I'm just being honest because I want you to feel like you can be honest and say, I get that. I understand what she's saying. I'm real. I'm real to you. I'm not here to paint a beautiful picture that Lynn Wilson has it all together. I do not. But I do know that I need to rely on the Lord, even on the days I don't feel like it, or it's uncomfortable, or you want to do this, you want to hide. The Lord knows all that. The Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows that. And sometimes I just have to get through the day, whatever that is, and it's at the end of the day, I'm like, okay, Lord, it's just you and me. And just cry if you have to cry, or talk out loud if you have to talk out loud. But there are days we don't feel like He's supplying our needs. We don't feel like he's there. We feel alone. We feel overwhelmed. We feel distracted. I get that. But the verse says, I will supply your needs. And you have to claim that verse. You have to trust that verse, even on the days you don't feel like it's really happening. Number one, as believers, there are so many ways that God does supply our needs. And I know when I get myself in this weird state of mind, I forget to look at all that I do have. Even if it's an emotional need, you forget sometimes that there are things there. We just sort of become distant within our own personality and we can't always see it. So what are we going to be talking about today? Well, let's start and look at a few more verses in James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That's in James 1:27. To look after the orphans and the widows. I don't recall the last time I have heard this discussed in church. I don't know the last time I've heard this discussed in a devotion or at a conference or at some kind of a meeting or at a Bible study. I think maybe I heard it once or twice. Maybe I can't even remember clearly hearing someone talk about taking care of the widows and the orphans. In James 2:15-16, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his or her physical needs, what good is it? I actually want to add to that, if I could paraphrase, what good are you? If you have a brother or sister that you know that is in need, hey, have a great day, good seeing you, catch you the next time, and you see a need and you can't even take time to provide that need, it said, what good is it? What good are you to that person? Ooh, that one is a tough one. And then in John 13:34-35, the Bible tells us to love one another as Christ has loved us. Okay, so what can we get from all of this? What can we get for hope for ourselves, encouragement? I talked about a time of reflection. We've talked about some loss. So in the past few weeks, you and I have talked about one of the things was to build our ark. And we talked about when Noah was told to build his ark. It was not during a time where it was comfortable to do. It wasn't during a time where it fit in, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, if we could have even said there was a Christian community back then, if you want to say it like that, it might have even been within that Christian community kind of like, hey, Noah, do you really know what you're doing? You know, Noah, come on, you know, between you and me, really, is this what's happening? Do you really feel that this is what God has told you to do? You know, the people, the unsaved people around him, I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant experience of building this ark for how many years in a time where no one wanted to believe in the Lord, live for the Lord, or do anything that was right in the eyes of God. They were all doing their own thing. Last week, we talked about storing up food at basically a pantry, a stockpile, which is scriptural. This is not a whim that, you know, Lynn went on. And I'll tell you, I probably, out of all the podcasts that I have done in the past almost a year now, that was the biggest one that I heard the most feedback. I had emails, text messages, Messenger. I met people here on the campus that one really, really helped them. And I'm glad it did. We talked about in the verse, it says storing up and doing things decently and in order. Last week, we talked about not only storing up for your own self and your own family, but that you would have things that you could share with a neighbor or a friend when they needed it. So what does all of these things have to do with widows and orphans? Well, God has instructed us to care for them. God has asked us to love one another. God has asked us to serve him, and God has asked us to serve others. Widows and orphans are mentioned several times in the Bible, and the Lord has clearly instructed us to come alongside of them and to take care of them. You might be sitting here today and a widow, maybe a fresh, brand new widow. Maybe you've been a widow for many years. I don't know necessarily that we would have anyone that's an orphan watching this, but maybe I do. I don't know. I trust that what you will get out of this is not to sit there and say, woe is me. I don't want that. I don't want you to leave this moment that we're spending together feeling like woe is me. What I want you to do is to turn your hurt, your anger, your confusion, your needs, your lack of, whatever you're lacking, back to the Lord and claim that He will supply your needs. And just have that hope knowing today that God's word is truth. Now, if you're on the other side of that and maybe you're not a widow or an orphan, and this might be the time God is truly speaking to you. I can tell you many years ago, we became foster parents. And I'm sure most of you know what foster parents are. You become a parent to a child who is either an orphan or their parents can just not take care of them for whatever reason, many reasons. And my husband and I felt very led. Actually, before we were even married, we talked about doing this. And that was just something that we felt we wanted to do. We wanted to give back in a small way. And we became foster parents. And my friends, my Christian friends said, do you really know what you're doing? That wasn't what I expected. And then when we adopted our child, we were asked by friends, again, Christian friends, why did you do that? Have we as Christians become so selfish that being a foster parent or adopting a child blows your mind? It wasn't like they said to me, oh, you know what? I could never do that. It's just not in me. But I'll tell you, I'm going to come alongside you. I want to pray for you. I want to come alongside of you. And, you know, I have a single bed. And can you use a bed for that child or a crib for that child? I have bedding and things. And maybe you have things. Maybe you can't afford to financially help. Not that you needed to do that. But maybe there are things that you could do that would come alongside that family that, you know, maybe not adopting and fostering is your thing. But you can help that family in sort of like taking care of that child, that orphan. You could come alongside, and by helping that couple, you can help that child. Are we a selfish people? Are we an uncaring people? Are we a people that just doesn't care? Are we a people that only care about what's important to us? Sometimes I hear people, and I see it often, especially in, you know, most of my circles are Christian circles. I am involved in other things outside of the Christian circle. And sometimes I tell my husband all the time, I almost would rather be with unsaved. I find that so many times they're more loving and caring for each other than the saved are for each other. We even talked about this a few weeks ago, and I talked about a phrase that I heard that our disunity will be our own undoing. We can't get it together as a body of believers. We can't get it together as a church. We are eating each other up from the inside out. Or we have circles. You know, I see this with people, and you'll see that's their circle of people. Years ago in the church, it was the cliques. Oh, they have a church clique. I don't think that term is sort of the in term these days, but you hear people say, oh, my people, my circle of people. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We all need a circle of people. We all need to feel a sense of belonging, and we want to have a circle of close friends. But that circle should never be so tight that you can't invite another friend into the circle, especially for someone that's in need. And if your friends in your circle aren't willing to reach out to someone in need, then you probably have the wrong friends. Now I sound like my mother, but that is so true. That is something I was taught when I was a kid. In our backyard, we had my dad built like a log cabin house for me to play in, like a you know, huge, like a mini shed, but it looked like a log cabin. And I was the only kid on the block in the whole neighborhood that had one. And so everybody wanted to come over to our backyard. And my mother used to say, either you all play together or nobody can play. And there were times where everybody had to go home because, you know, well, we're not playing with Susie down the street because she's this or the next, or I'm not playing with Johnny over here because of, and my mother would say, either you all play or nobody plays. Do you have such a tight circle that you can't let anybody in? Have we become so consumed in our own life that we don't have the time or we don't take the time to care about other people? There was a warning that I gave my oldest son. He is smart. Sometimes you kind of look at your kids and you go, is that my kid? Academically, he aced it. I struggle with computer knowledge and tablets and phones. It's not something I grew up with, and I'm learning. But he aced that. He's just the type of person that he doesn't need to read directions. He can just figure it out. I taught him to be an independent man. I wanted him to be self-sufficient and, you know, not be a mama's boy and hanging on my skirt tails all the time. And he's turned out great. He's done everything I taught him to do. But when he was becoming a young adult, I remembered watching him become extremely independent and self-reliant. And I warned him, I said, don't ever become so dependent on yourself that you never need another person. And I said, that will carry through in life. Because if you're so independent when you become married, you would not be able to give to your spouse what they needed. That your spouse, if you're married, you understand you need to be needed. You need to be able to give back to your spouse. And you need your spouse to need you. You need that feeling. And I warned him. He was on kind of borderline of, you know, I got it together. I'm good. I don't need anybody. And I said, that's a dangerous place to be. Now, that's not to say you should not be self-reliant. If you're smart and educated and you can do certain things and so on and so forth, that's great. But there's a level of an attitude that comes with it where you need to know your place in the sense of, I do need people. People feel an emotional need, a financial need, a physical need, a spiritual need. And ultimately, I told him, when we rely only on ourselves all the time and we don't allow someone to help us, we forget to rely on the Lord. I got this. I don't need God today. I got up this morning. I went to work. I drove myself. I went grocery shopping. I paid my bills. I did good. And in all of that, the Lord was never present. Remember last week we talked about lifting things up to the Lord and asking for a blessing? How many times have we maybe been in a position of you needed a ride to go get your car fixed and you called 15 people and nobody could help, or you needed financial help, or you needed something, and that awkwardness of, could I ask you a question? I hate to bother you. I need a favor. And I'll tell you, there are times, and again, if we're honest with each other, I love talking to people and they say, oh, I never experienced that. I don't know what planet you live on, but, you know, life is not peachy pie all the time. And there are times I have gone to church, and now I have a special needs son, and I have a husband that's disabled. So emotionally, I'm not always, you know, at peak performance. I come to church or I come to work, and I have to, in a sense, go on stage and you know, try and rise above it and smile. And there are days my insides are just curling up with feeling horrible on the inside. And there are times I've gone to church and I've thought, oh, if I could only have a friend to talk to. You can talk to the Lord, but sometimes you just need that one-on-one with a human being. And I've looked around church and I'll say, now that one would judge me and that one would criticize me and that one would probably tell the entire world and gossip about me. And that one just is a very unfeeling person. And I've looked around on a day where I really needed a friend and I really needed someone to talk to realize there's no one out there in church that I would even trust with that feeling. Have you felt like that? Have you been in that situation? Have you created in yourself such a aura that when people come up to you, they're, oh, I can't talk to her. Are you such a welcoming personality that when someone walks in, they automatically feel they can you pray for me? Can I ask you a favor? Not to be walked all over, not to be, you know, abused the fact that, you know, you're such a giving person, but is your personality just so soft, loving, and warm that you just show Christ so much through your life that when someone says, hey, Lynn, could you pray for me? I'm really struggling. And I'm not going to sit there and make fun of you, ridicule you, give you judgment or advice. You asked me to pray for you. How can I pray for you? And just pray for that person. Lord, they're asking for a direction. They need wisdom. They need financial help. They need an emotional this. Whatever they asked you for, can they come to you without any hesitation and ask for that help? People need help from time to time, especially widows and orphans. They need our money. They need shelter sometimes. Sometimes they need clothing. Sometimes they might need babysitting. Let's get practical here. I know when I was raising our youngest son who has special needs, there were days I'd pull my hair out. There were weeks and there was no respite. I couldn't catch my breath. And I was an emotional wreck. And then having a husband who was on disability, and if someone would have come and said, can I watch your son for the afternoon? Are you serious? Really? Would you? Oh, what a blessing that would have been. Even if it was for an hour, can I run him down the street to Wendy's and buy him lunch? I only have an hour, but I'd love to give you that break. For 1 hour, I could have taken a hot shower and spent some time in prayer or had a cup of coffee and just went out and had a walk, something practical. Maybe people need a ride somewhere. Maybe they need car repairs. Maybe you're in a position of, hey, I do great job on brakes, and you hear somebody needing some brakes done. Maybe they just need advice. If you have been married and you've always gone to your partner for advice, and now that partner's not there, you know it. Who do I ask? You always ask your partner. You know, maybe you always ask your mom and dad, and now you're alone. You don't have parents, and you're an orphan, and who do I ask? We as a people need to be that person, that caregiver that gives back to the widow and orphans in clothing, shelter, money, maybe babysitting, rides, car repairs, and advice. They should be able to come to you and say, I need advice. Now, this is not advice of, well, let me sit in the seat of judgment and tell you what you need to be doing. This is advice that they're coming to you for. And if you don't know the answer, the best advice you can give them is, you know what? I don't know, but I can pray about this and I can ask the Lord for wisdom for the two of us to walk through this together. I'm in there with you. Or you know what? I don't know, but I'll tell you, so-and-so is an expert on that. Let's go together. Sometimes you just need that person with you. Let's walk over there together and talk to them and see what we can find out. Maybe they just need someone to listen. So, how many times, yeah, raise your hand. You want to say, would you just listen? I just need to vent. I just need to talk. I had a rough day. I stubbed my toe and I dropped my coffee. And then this happened and that happened. And maybe really the whole day was not that big of a deal. But to that other person, it was just devastating. Just listen to them on the phone. Listen to them on their email. Listen to them in person. Maybe they just need to have someone spend time with them. They're lonely. They just need a cup of tea. Would you spend some time with me? They're probably not going to tell you that. You know, we have been given eyes and ears, and we can use our eyes and ears for the Lord. You can see someone alone in church. How many of us, oh, I can't. I just can't. She drives me crazy. He drives me nuts. I get that. But to take an afternoon or an hour or so to do something for someone else other than yourself, that you know the Lord, if the Lord's allowing you to see that situation, and if it's not comfortable just you and them, grab your friend and say, hey, she's had a rough week. How about you and I take her out for lunch after church today? Or, you know, how about we invite her over for coffee and you make the coffee, I'll make the brownies, and let's get together with her and see what we can do to help. The list goes on and on. There are so many needs out there. When is the last time you felt alone, scared, and you needed a friend? Are you so independent that you don't need anyone anymore? That's a bad place to be, just as I told my son. If the Bible tells us to care for others, we need to do this. If the Bible tells us to care for the widows and the orphans, which it does, we need to do this. If the Bible tells us to love one another, we need to love others. Today, would you be a caregiver along with me and give hope to someone in a world that's hopeless? Would you be the caregiver to give someone care, love, a time of refreshment, emotional support, but again, hope, definitely hope. Remind yourself that we were once adopted into the family of God. Yeah, you and me. We were adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ if we are saved. So, in a sense, we were an orphan at one time. Remind yourself that God loved you so much that he died on the cross just for you. He took your name to the cross. He loved you so much that he gave his only life, his only son, for you. He gave his life for you. Can we not even give a little extra time today to care and love for another person? We have been so loved by our Heavenly Father. Can we not turn around and share that love with somebody else? Go out today, and I want you to live life. I want you to go out today, and I want you to give back. I want you to go out today and show somebody that you really care and that they have a friend. Doing for others can be the best thing ever for your outlook on life. I've heard so many times that, you know, when you're in a slump in life, whatever that slump might be, but then you turn around and you do for others, it just lifts your spirits. It gives you a refreshed attitude. It can sort of help level the playing field of emotionally where you are. This week, I want you to go out and do something for someone else. We as a people need to be more loving, more caring, and more giving. Christians, and I'm not talking to all Christians. I probably am preaching to the choir right now, and you are probably all the people that are doing all the good things. But I'll tell you, we have become so self-consumed in the fact that we are Christians and we are entitled to whatever, and put a label on whatever we're entitled to. No, we are not. The only thing we're entitled to, if you want to say, is salvation. And that's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't for him, we're sinners. We are worth nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ to enter eternity. Outside of that, who are you and me to say that we are better than anybody else? We are not. There are people that are truly hurting, and there are widows and orphans, and the Bible talks about that. Go out. Is there someone in your church? Is there someone in your, maybe it's your neighbor, and they just lost a loved one? What could you do for them? Last week I talked about storing up. Maybe that extra loaf of bread you've got, buy one, get one free this week at the grocery store. Maybe make a pot of soup and get that loaf of bread and bring it over to them. You see them struggling with their car. Maybe you can help them, give them a ride, or give them some advice of a good mechanic. I don't know what it is. God has given you an ark to build, whatever that ark is. It might not be in a time where people think this is the perfect timing. When we were foster parents and adoptive parents, people made fun of us. They didn't think, what are you doing? What are you doing? Really? You're doing this now? We were called by God to build that ark, and we have built that ark. That ark is floating in our home right now, and that child is living with us and is my son, who is loved and is being brought up to be a man of God. That was my ark. That might not be your ark. I don't know what your ark is. I don't know what widow or orphan God has placed in your life that you need to reach out to. You have something that you can give. You have a personality that can give. You have finances that can give. You have things that can give. I don't know what it is. You ask God today, who is it you need to be helping? Who is it that he wants you to reach out to?